I want to welcome you to the celebration of our sweet Wilma. We celebrated Mama in the most picturesque place. The backdrop of that memorial is just amazing. Her graveside was absolutely gorgeous, and it was sunny because that's what Wilma is. She is sunshine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it promises that we don't mourn without hope. Oh, we're overflowing with hope today. But we're in the in-between where we are missing our Wilma. I remember the first Sunday morning without Wilma. We gathered for our prayer, and we just kind of all bawled. It's hard to let go of somebody like Wilma. But I'll tell you what, we may miss her, but she is enjoying the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Father, you are welcome here. Jesus, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, have your way. As we celebrate our dear Wilma, as we celebrate life, as we hold on to precious memories, as we give you glory, God, and we look forward to all of eternity in the presence of the Father, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that you'd just wrap your arms of comfort, your arms of love around every loved one today. As we celebrate Wilma singing her favorite songs. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, y'all sound good. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Yes, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday, yes, to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all sound so good. Jesus, Jesus. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear, we want to hear you, God, falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Oh, to hear your voice, oh God, and the joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. Speak, Father. He speaks, and the sound of his voice, 'tis so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Oh God, may it be true, walking with you, talking with you. I know that's Wilma's cry, that all of her friends, all of her family, all of her loved ones know your voice, know the voice of the Father. And this is her favorite of all. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Yes, we're watching and waiting, we're looking above. Yes, oh, we're filled with his goodness, lost in his love. And this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song,
praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Praise, 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 praise.
Memorial service is an important step toward healing. You know, the sharing time is something that the family remembers forever. It may be the most important time of our gathering, because I heard this a while ago, sharing a burden makes it lighter, sharing a joy makes it brighter. It's okay to cry, it's okay to laugh. I mean, that's kind of important. During the grieving process, we kind of just vacillate between tears and laughter, these two waves of emotions. They're so important. Allow yourself to step through these necessary stages of grief. Because it's true. What Jesus said is true. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed. They will be comforted. And Scripture promises that laughter is what? A good medicine. A good medicine. We can choose how to remember our loved ones. Not to dwell on bad things, but focus on those good memories. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Don't let evil get the best of you. Come on. Don't let evil get the best of you, but overcome evil by doing good. Amen. So we're going to have a time of open sharing, and I'm going to walk around with this microphone. We're going to ask that you talk in the microphone because we are recording. There's some people at work that want to be here that we're recording for them, or family that can't be here. And I know that we're starting with Harrison, right? All right,
Harrison. So when I think of Grandma Wilma, the first thing I think of is probably staying the night at her house when I was really young. And every morning she would do the same thing. She'd wake up, she'd make waffles, she would get vitamins out and set them out. And she loved to cook for people and she loved to make things for people. And that was kind of her, I guess, her love language. But I think the thing that stands out to me most about her was she never tried to find a difference between her and anyone else. I can't think of a single time when she would be like, oh, well, I think this and they think this. She always tried to find something common between her and someone else. Mm-hmm. And I never heard her bad mouth or say anything bad or negative about anyone else in my life, no matter, like, even the people that she disagreed with or that she, you know, had issues with, she never spoke bad about them. And she was always praying for them and hoping that they would find the Lord. And I think that's what I remember most about that and her squirrel story. She has a story she told about a squirrel that got into her attic, and I don't know how many times I've heard that story, because every day when she came to live with us, every time I would go down there, she would talk about it and be like, did I ever tell you about the chipmunk that got into my attic? And I'd be like, well, you did, but you can tell me again. Yeah.
Anybody else? Don't be shy now.
We'll come to you. My favorite memory actually has to do with my salvation. And After Daddy died, we had a really hard time emotionally, the idea of going back to church and being in that facility where he used to lead worship. It broke my heart. And so after a year, Grandma Wilma said, hey, you and Lindsay are coming with me to church. And our moms were like, okay, sure. And so she swept us off to church at Eastmont Assembly. And that night, I met my very best friend in the world. And that was the reason I kept going back, because she bridged the gap. She became that person that encouraged me. She'd pick me up for church. She'd take me to friends' houses and build that relationship. And of all of the thousands of memories I have about Grandma, that's the one that stands out the most, because that person ended up almost 20 years later becoming a pastor at a small church because of the friendship that we had. And so Grandma made a difference.
I loved Wilma. I loved Wilma, and she knew it. And I remember when I was going through a struggle that she asked me to come to her house and let her help me through this hard time. And I just was so blessed by her knowledge and her heart. That's the one thing. Wilma had a heart for the Lord and for all of her friends. And she just loved the Lord, and she just reaped that. And I thought, I want to be like her. Yeah. But God said, you got to be like you, Sandy. And, she was just so sweet and dear and loving, and I will always remember Wilma in my life. And I just pray that the family will be able to be healed and have that peace that goes beyond all understanding. Amen. That only God can give you in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I'm so glad to hear how her grandson remembered the good, and he remembered the laughter, and that is her. Thank you. I just want to tell you how wonderful she is.
Yes, amen.
And I'm glad she got her.
That's right. She's doing her Pentecostal jigs in heaven. Yes.
Wilma always said, right in front of us in church service. And I had been really concerned about one of my daughters. She was a sweet, sweet girl, but I was concerned about her salvation. So I thought, I know, I'll just call Wilma. I know she can give me answers. I know she can help me. So after I told her about my concerns and everything, the one thing that Wilma told me that I won't forget, she said, just love her.
She was that sign right there. Anybody else? The other side.
When tomorrow starts without me, and I am not there to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes are filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today, while thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you loved me, as much as I loved you. And each time you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand. That angel came and called my name and took me by the hand. When tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right there in your heart.
Well, Wilma was my mama in the Lord. I don't know, there's a lot of people, I don't recognize a lot of people, but because of Debbie, I met her. And then Wilma did a lot for me, just like a mama. And she did it all in love, always. And just like she said, and he said, I never heard her complain either. Never. And she's going to be missed, but we'll see her soon. Amen. I know I'm going to.
Amen. Amen. One more.
Hi. There were so many things about Wilma I think a lot of us never knew. And one thing I remember is that she was taking in these kids. I don't know if they were young adults off the streets. And Debbie, you probably know a whole lot about it, but I didn't really know too much. But I just admired the fact that she was brave enough to bring these kids into her own home and minister to them. And who knows what went on in some of those homes or in that home, but she was willing to do the work that nobody else would do. And she was a prayer warrior. I remember her marching around that church, and she was claiming the people for God, claiming the land for God, claiming the church for God. She wasn't going to let anything go without being anointed and covered by the blood of Jesus. I just admired her so very, very much, and I'm so thankful that she was a part of my life.
Yes, amen. Amen. Grace is going to share her heart and also the obituary.
So I'm going to start by reading the obituary, and then I'm going to share a personal story of my grandma. Wilma Louise Welch Tygeson, January 6, 1933 to February 24, 2023. Wilma Louise Tygeson, age 90, went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on February 24, 2023, at home in East Wenatchee, Washington. She was born on January 6, 1933 in Batesville, Arkansas, to Butler, Tex, and Elsie Mae Welch. After her childhood in Arkansas, Wilma called many places home. She lived on a sailboat in San Luis and in several towns in Washington, notably Beverly, Liberty, Anacortes, before settling in the Wenatchee Valley in her 60s. She loved the Lord and was always involved in her local church, serving faithfully. She was a woman of many talents, a seamstress, an upholsterer, volunteer firefighter, gardener, and photographer. I'm going to stop and make a side note that when my mom and I were going through all of her stuff, the amount of photos is amazing. That woman loved to take photos of anything and everything because she wanted to remember it all. And every person, I swear, every person she met, she took a photo of. There's so many people. She probably has a photo of every person in this room. Wilma was born in the Great Depression, and times were very difficult for her parents. At the age of 9, Wilma was adopted by Silas and Mary. As a teenager, she worked hard picking cotton and doing field work to help support her family. She would recount how the bags of cotton that she hauled in the fields were heavier than she was. In the early 50s, she moved to Washington to be closer to her father, Tex, and her stepmother, Nola. She married Bob Dykes, and they had a daughter, Deborah. Wilma and Bob lived in Beverly and worked for the Wanapum Dam, where she counted fish. She also did upholstery work and was a member of the Volunteer Fire District. In her 30s, Wilma remarried and welcomed stepdaughters Helen and Jean as family. After moving from Beverly, she lived in a cabin in Liberty, Washington, and subsequently lived on two different sailboats based out of Anacortes. She sailed along the U.S. Pacific coast and visited ports in Mexico. After the sailboats, Wilma continued to live in Anacortes, where she was a devoted member of the Anacortes First Assembly of God Church. In the early 90s, she moved to the Wenatchee area. In 2003, Wilma married Robert Tigeson, and she gladly welcomed his three sons, Lee, Bobby, and Steve, and Robert's grandchildren and great-grandchildren as her family. They were happily married for 9 years until Robert passed in 2012. After a period of illness in 2016, Wilma moved to live with her granddaughter Angel and her family. Wilma loved Jesus, she loved all people, and she loved to share Jesus wherever she went. She spent lots of times ministering to those in the jail and the hospital. When she moved to Wenatchee, she would drive through town with a big pot of soup and feed the homeless. She was instrumental in seeing many come to know Jesus here. She opened her home to host many struggling pilgrims on their journey to follow Christ. She also discipled many during Bible study and prayer gatherings. She was known as Mama by the many she loved and that loved her. Wilma loved to pray, read the Bible, and worship the Lord daily, in addition to attending church regularly. Her small library of Bible dictionaries, concordances, and study guides was well used and loved. She enjoyed making personal study notes of the scriptures with cross references and personal messages from the Holy Spirit. Wilma left behind many notebooks filled with her personal notes and Bible studies. Wilma loved her family deeply, and she dearly loved her many friends. She especially enjoyed hosting holiday gatherings and made amazing meals and desserts. She will be greatly missed by all who knew her. Wilma was preceded in death by her late husband Robert Tigeson in 2012. She is survived by her daughter, Deborah Westenberg, her stepchildren, Helen, Jean, Lee, Bobby, and Steve. Her sisters, Virginia, Wanda, Sharon, Debbie, Norma, and Nita. Her brothers, Jerry, Ronnie, Bobby, and Clay. Her grandchildren, Angel, Paul, Lindsay. And her step-grandchildren, Desiree, David, Aaron, and Chris, and Matthew. She had many great-grandchildren. Wilma was preceded in death by her parents, Butler Welch and Elsie Smith, her adoptive parents, Silas and Mary Kimbrough, her step-parents, Nola Welch and Phil Harrison, her sister, Vonna Fisher, and her brothers, Gerald and Loy. Thank you to all of the staff at Confluence Health and Hospice for your care and support of Wilma. You are invited to view Wilma's online tribute at heritagememorialchapel.com to share a memory or leave a condolence. Arrangements are in the care of Heritage Memorial Chapel. And now I want to share a little bit about my grandma. My grandma, from the day that I was born, was my built-in best friend. And she was the most selfless person in this world. That is the one thing that I will remember about her, is how she would give and give until she had nothing left, and then she would give some more. It didn't matter who you were or what you were to her. She would give you the shirt off her back, everything she had. I can remember being a kid, and like my brother said, the one thing that I remember the most about her was spending the night at her house. That was the absolute highlight of my week or my day. I remember I would sit at the window in our house, and I would wait for hours and hours till the time when she would come to pick me up, and I would say to my mom every like 5 minutes, when's grandma coming? When's grandma gonna be here? Is it 3 o'clock yet? And I just remember it wasn't even, I don't even know why it wasn't about the food or the toys or the things that I got to do at her house. It was just getting to spend time with her and Papa and sitting on their couch and watching Westerns with them. And listening to them talk, and every morning my grandma would, every night I remember she would always take such good care of me before bed, and she would, for the longest time, she would refuse to use a sleeping mask, and she would put this purple sock over her eyes. And every night when I would spend the night at her house, she would give me a sock to place over my eyes. And she would rub lotion on my feet and get me ready for bed, and she would let me use her night cream. And she used the same exact night cream till the day she died. Never changed it, same thing. She would let me use it, and I just remember that she would always want to do the same thing. I always wanted to do the same thing that grandma did. I want to be exactly like her. And I just, she brought so much peace to my life. No matter what I was going through, she was always there. And especially after she moved in with us, it didn't matter how late I came home from work, even 3 a.m, I would go in the bathroom, and a few minutes later, there she'd be, pop her little head in, just wanted to tell you goodnight, sweetheart. And if she thought that she would miss me when I was getting home, I would come home and she would have left sticky notes on my mirror with little scripture verses, and I have countless sticky notes of scriptures or little letters from her. But one memory that I do want to share from the Lord is on the day that she passed, the morning, I laid in bed with her, and she was listening to her Jimmy Swaggart CDs. And I just felt, even though I knew she was going, I felt so at peace, because I know that's how she wants us to feel. And even though I laid in her bed with her, and I sang the songs, and I knew that she was worshiping with me, even though she couldn't sing. She was worshiping, and she was ready to go. And that's just the feeling that I've had since she left, is that peace that she is with the Lord, and that's how she would want us to feel. And so I just challenge you all to try every day to be as selfless as Wilma did, and just to be like her.
Thank you, Grace. Wilma and I connected quickly and easily. I think we had the same heartbeat. She served on our church board, and when she told me that she was ready to not anymore, I said, are you sure? I said, are you sure? But I miss her so much. And my life verse gets me through times like this. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm sure you all could quote it with me. Because Wilma lived this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's got it under control. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart, and He will carry you through. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Yes, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I know that Wilma knew if grace isn't amazing, it isn't grace. I know she knew if love isn't unconditional, then it isn't love. David, would you come and share?
this is going to be tough. Believe it or not, I'm not an emotional person. That's why I wrote this down, because I couldn't get through this if I wasn't right. I didn't read it. It's been hard for me to sit down. I don't know how many times my wife could tell you I sat down, tried to write this out. And me, I can talk. Ask my kids, ask my pastor, I can talk. Sometimes probably saying things I shouldn't at the best time, but I can talk. So just give me a moment. Obviously, you're all here because you knew Wilma. You may have called by one of her many, many names, if you've all have said today, mother, sister, friend. I've heard the one over and over is Mama. But to me, she was Grandma. Grandma. Sorry. She was always there, always steady, always strong. She loved to tell me the story how she was there when I was born. When I was born, my dad was still in Vietnam, and my mom, Ben, was my grandpa. They were married when they lived down in Wapama Village, and they were with her. Mom moved in with her because she was close to childbirth, and Ben didn't want to be over at Fort Lewis by herself. So, middle of the night, I came. Grandma loved telling the story how she was sure that she was going to be the one to deliver me in the car on the way to the hospital, and she was actually kind of hoping to, I think, because that's Grandma. She loved to tell a story how I was her special little boy. Even when I was taller than her, even when I weighed more than two or honestly maybe three times as much as her, I was always her special boy, and that was Grandma. Everyone she knew was special to her. Everyone she met became her family. There was always room for another person in her heart. She never took any person for granted and always had time to give a hug, a talk, a hug, or that little pat, squeeze on the hand that was Grandma. Grandma was also my introduction to God. I bet no one here knows that, right, huh? She wasn't like that for anybody here, was she? I spent a lot of time growing up down in Wanapum Village. Grandpa worked at the PUD, and I would go down, and I was very blessed. I got to spend many summer weeks down there, many spring breaks growing up. I was very blessed in that. Grandma was the one that taught me how to read. I didn't understand when I got to kindergarten, because Grandma taught me very young. Kind of, on all her trips, I count all the numbers for her on the roadside numbers and read all the signs. And I was in kindergarten. I was reading Little House on the Prairie, and everyone else was doing Little Sea Dick Run. And I didn't understand because Grandma taught me how to read. It's supposed to be that way. She taught me how to ride a bike. Now, there was a kid that was selling a bike down at Wilma Village, and I wanted the bike. Grandma said I could have the bike, but she wasn't going to buy it for me. I had to buy the bike. So I had to work in the yard, pull weeds. She paid me, and then I bought the bike. But then she taught me how to ride it. She could run really fast. Maybe you guys didn't know Grandma back then. She could run really fast. And when you crashed, she was right there. And so, now, Grandma also taught me that love can hurt a little bit. Grandma had lots of rules. Lots of rules. Rules the little boy didn't like to follow. Mean, unfair rules like you have to clean your plate. You have to pick up your toys. You have to tell the truth. Don't go jumping your bike with everybody else down at a neighbor's house off the carport. The carports are this high up, and you could put a ramp, and you could really fly. And I broke that bike. She wasn't very happy with me. So, but there was one rule I did break that, if you guys know Wanapum Village, down by it, there's a railroad trestle. They've turned it into a crossing, a walking path now. Now, there's a real sad story where a gentleman fell off it, was building it, and they died. Well, one of the big rules for Grandma was you did not cross the highway. You did not go by railroad tracks. Well, they found out we crossed the highway. We were out on that railroad bridge. It was still a railroad bridge at that time. And when we got back, I learned that Grandma understood discipline, and she believed in discipline. And Grandma was the first person to introduce me what a switch was for. Now, many of you don't know that side of Wilma. And so, I know some of the front row knows, okay? Anyways, I thought I was real smart because Grandma said, go out to the cherry tree and get the switch. So I'm the smart little guy. I went and got the thinnest little switch I could find. They make quite a whistling noise as they're going through the air. But the thing about Grandma was, there was a lesson with that. And the spanking was always accompanied by a hug, a log hug. And you learned that Grandma always loved you. And she would tell you over and over, I love you, and Jesus loves you. No matter what you did, I love you. Later in life, when I screwed up big in my family, I called Dr. Grammel. She said, it's okay. I love you, honey. Or, I love you, sweetheart. It was her sweetheart was always what I heard. And she told me, it's time to fix it. Give it to God. Let him lead you and fix it. And he did. I mean, Grandma had great advice. I got lost my point here. Anyways, I always remember that Grandma went to church. It was just one of those things that was accepted as a matter of fact. Grandma Wilma went to church. I went there many times with her to the Assembly of God Church in Mattawa, really small little church, but sometimes she would drive all the way from Waterford Village to Quincy, pick me up and drive all the way back to Mattawa, take me to church, then drive me all the way back to Quincy, drop me off, then go back home. And then she'd go back to church at night because she wanted me to be in church. She wanted me to learn what that was about. And now if you know Grandma too, you know, as was said earlier, she prayed. She prayed all the time. Yes. I would come to outside and she'd be praying. Outside working in the yard, she'd be praying. Working, cooking, she'd be praying. Anything she was doing, she'd be praying. She was my first example of what continuous prayer actually was. I would see her cleaning, baking cookies, sewing, gardening. Her lips were moving quietly. I remember asking her, what are you doing, Grandma? She replied, just talking to Jesus, honey. Or just talking to our Heavenly Father, honey. I remember waking up and finding her in her chair at the kitchen table, or at the kitchen table, reading her Bible, giving all to God. Grandma was always busy at church. She never sat down until it was time for the sermon. She was always hugging everyone, praying with someone, just smiling and loving all those around her. She always loved everyone around her. And if you asked her what she was praying for, she would reply, you, Grandpa, your mama, Aaron, my Debbie, everyone. I could tell you without a doubt, if Grandma knew you or had met you, she was praying for you. Grandma always had time to explain all those things a little boy wanted to know about in church. Because when she first started taking me, I didn't go to church. I didn't understand all the things. I'd ask her, like, why do we have to dress nice? We'd be in church like, Grandma, why are they raising their hands? Or, Grandma, why is that person speaking? What are they saying? That's babble. I mean, they're not saying anything. And she would explain what that meant. She would explain how one person got done, I learned what that speaking in tongues was called. One person interpreted, and it usually was Grandma back then. And she had the patience to always tell me what was going on. It wasn't a mystery. It was just the way it was. And she told why we did that. When I got older and Grandpa retired from, and then Grandma and Grandpa moved to Anacortes, even though it's far away, Grandma always made sure I knew she was there. Phone calls, letters, cards, always there, always praying. Grandma always loves you. She also always gently suggested I should go to church. Imagine that. Reminded me to pray, to read my Bible, and always know that Jesus loves me. No matter how old I got, no matter where I was or where she was in life or where I was in life, always remember, Grandma loves you and Jesus loves you. Years later, it was Grandma Wilma that called us and told us about a young pastor who was going to his new church in Quincy and that she thought we would have a lot in common with him and that it is really important we get our kids involved in our church family. Just the way it was, and we went, and that, I've repeated that. All my story is very similar to others that know Grandma. She always loved you. She always made sure that you knew who Jesus was and that he loved you. Now, when I think of Grandma Wilma, the word that pops in my mind is legacy. The world wants us to think of legacy as something that's physical, something you own, something like land, money, jewelry, something that has a monetary value that can be given to someone else. I'm talking about spiritual legacy. Matthew 6:19 through 21 tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That is what Grandma's passed on. She always had a prayer for you. She always had a hug for you. She was always there for you. She taught me what was important in life and how to pass it on. When Paul was writing Timothy, he wrote, I reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. In my life, that was my Grandma Wilma. Her sincere faith will continue to be evident through my entire life as I will strive to show others my faith, to show others my sincere love for God, the gospel, my family, and most importantly, show the world what real love, godly love, is truly a legacy that is to be passed on, to be shared, to be lived. Grandma would have been so overjoyed last Sunday. I wish she could have seen it. My grandson, her great-great-grandson, was baptized. He chose in his words to be, when the pastor asked, why do you want to do this? How is he, 10, 9 years old? He said, to show the world that I am a Christ follower. That's legacy. That's a priceless gift, more precious than gold or diamonds, more valuable than anything you can actually put your hands on. It's a gift that was given with the intent and purpose that you and I, in turn, do our best to give it away as well. That is legacy, and that, to me, was Grandma Wilma. Thank you.
Amen.
Now I'm supposed to introduce slideshow from Angel and Dennis put together.
When I'm gone, don't cry for me. When I'm gone, don't cry for me. I've waited so long, now I'm free. So when I'm gone, don't cry for me. Lay no rose I've been waiting from that sweet first breath.
Scripture declares in Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? I am convinced. Who's convinced? I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, the present nor the future, nor any power, height, or depth, anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Scripture promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, to be absent from the body. Oh, I'm holding on to this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm hanging on to that scripture. We are filled with hope. We are filled with joy. At this very moment, Wilma is experiencing the glory of the Father, the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Holy Spirit. She's in Abba's arms. Listen, I promised to keep it short. I said this at the graveside too. I know that there's a fine line between a long service, a long sermon, and a hostage situation. There's a few things I know that the Lord has placed in my heart to share at times like this. First, an apology, then suffering, and finally, eternity. Sometimes at a memorial service, I have the privilege of addressing people that don't normally step inside a church building. As a matter of fact, my favorite memorial service I ever did was I was pastoring a short time in Nebraska, and this guy was calling around to all the churches, and all the pastors were saying no to him about him having his brother's funeral. And I said, well, why are they saying no? And he said, well, I want to play some of his favorite music, and it just isn't, it's not Christian. And I said, well, if you can share that music, if I can share the gospel. And I point to that moment in my ministry. I when I get to heaven, I think it'll be the most important. Because there were people filling that church that never come to church. And it was such a privilege. But listen, I feel I must step into this gap that exists right now. Actually, it's existed as long as I've been a pastor. A gap in the church. You see, people are messy inside the church, and people are messy outside the church. And sometimes people step into church to find hope. They step into church to be healed, and instead they find hurt. I love the gospel, but I'm not much of a fan of religion. Somebody said religion is man's attempt at God, but the gospel is God's attempt at man. And that's what I give my life to, the gospel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And listen, please don't stop there. Church, we got to stop stopping there. We need 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this was Wilma's heart. She was never, never condemning. Please hear my heart today. I'm sorry. I'm sorry when we sometimes I have PTCD, post-traumatic church disorder. I'm sorry when we misrepresent Christ and we look like condemnation. For Jesus made it clear over and over and over in places like Matthew 22 and John 13 and 1 Corinthians 13 that, and so many more, that it's supposed to be all about, come on, supposed to be all about love. And Wilma was love. In fact, that entire Bible is summed up with that word. First apology, then suffering. Sin has introduced pain. And I grew up in a church that didn't celebrate sovereignty, didn't celebrate mystery. And and sometimes preached miracles to the point of allowing blame and guilt to cloud what could be holy suffering. This is the gospel according to Job, which just so happens to be the title of a book that saved me from walking away from my calling. This is worship. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you say it with me? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had the unfortunate privilege of doing a service for a little girl who died in a fire. And this just so happened to be my very first funeral at the age of 26. And I went to the Father, I went to Jesus, I went pleading for the right words for such tragedy. And I have to be very honest with you. We've got to stop giving our easy answers. Pain is real. The very center of our faith is that cross, our Savior suffering. The last thing anybody needs is empty words or excuses. There was anger at God in that funeral home. And I encourage folks to take that anger to God. He has big shoulders, and God can take it. I've had some healing experiences wailing at some trees. Anybody done that? Wailing at some trees. God knew that I couldn't take the news of Wilma's passing without being on a prayer walk. I was on a prayer walk when I heard from Deborah. God takes our hurt. God takes our anger. God takes our pain. And he returns love. Because God is love. Please listen. I prayed. I begged God for wisdom for the pain in the world. And I know the Holy Spirit whispered this to me. Don't focus on the whys of life. They lead only to confusion. But focus on eternity. This is why I still pastor through much pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Apology, suffering, eternity. C.S. Lewis said, that great atheist turned Christian, most of us find it very difficult to want heaven, except insofar as heaven means meeting again our friends who have died. One reason for this difficulty is that we have not been trained. Our whole education tends to fix our minds on this world. Another reason is that when the real want for heaven is present in us, we don't recognize when eternity is crying out to us. Wow. You see, there's a longing for heaven in you, and it's always been there. You ever found that the things of this world don't satisfy? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. You were born with heaven in your heart. A holy that only God can fill. You see, heaven isn't about how amazing it's going to be when we get there. Pearly gates, streets of gold, mansions, whatever. No, heaven is the presence of God. Heaven is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm looking for. Oh, your presence is heaven to me. Something inside you either leaps at that thought or cringes. And I'm telling you right now, Wilma wants you in heaven with her. At times like this, it is normal, it is imperative that we think of our own mortality. Nobody lives forever. Have you noticed? Nobody lives forever. Are we ready to stand before God knowing that we've entered into His amazing grace? Wilma wants you with her for all of eternity. Would you stand with me? Let's recommit to our Lord and Savior right now. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Thank you, Jesus. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Thank you, Lord. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all God. And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. We exalt You, Father. We exalt You, Jesus. We exalt You, Holy Spirit. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O above all the earth, Thou art exalted far above all gods. Oh, and I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. Oh, and I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord. What fun to sing Wilma's favorite songs. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May the Father's love and the Son's grace. Oh, come on. May the Father's love and the Son's grace and the Spirit's comfort overflow, 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 overflow into every day. May you go deeper, long, high, wide. This amazing love of God. Dive deeper, deep, calling to deep. Thank you so much for coming, for celebrating our Wilma. We'd love you to stick around, give a bunch of hugs, have some snacks. Don't hurry out. Stick around and give some hugs, and Lord, bless this food and take away all the calories in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.